Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus addressed to them this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert, go after the lost one until he finds it? When he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, calls together his friends and neighbors and says, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? When she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, St. Paul, as he concludes 4 weeks of the letter to the Romans with us at Daily Mass, talks about one of the most important principles of Christian identity and life, about this mutual belonging, this mutual loving relationship between God and us. Objectively, we belong to Him, and subjectively, He wants us to consecrate and commend ourselves to Him. And a real joy to Christian life comes when we know that we are the Lord, and when we have our acts follow that being. Paul says today, none of us lives for oneself, none of one dies for oneself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. November is that time in which we focus on both of those realities. On November 1st, we celebrate All Saints' Day, those who live for the Lord. Celebrate the martyrs, those who died explicitly for the Lord in the faith. It's also a time on November 2nd with All Souls Day and throughout this month, if we ponder the last things, including our death, to have us begin to ask ourselves, am I living for the Lord? Am I dying for the Lord? The essence of the Christian life is to live that way each day. Communication of Christ in the Great Commission Classic tells us in paragraph 24, live every day as if that's going to be the last day of your life. That's not going to rob you of life. That's not a macabre thought. But actually, it's what brings everything full alive. And we recognize that this might be the last day. I'm excited. We might be more patient with that person who's trying our patience. That might be the last conversation we ever have. We might call those people we haven't said, "I love you too" in a long time and just say it. Or if we know that we've hurt somebody, that's the time where we expedite asking for forgiveness. Cardinal Justin Regali, 2 days before he retired as the Archbishop of Philadelphia in 2011, wrote a beautiful letter to his priest. I think I'm the only priest in the entire world who preaches about it, but it was beautiful. Which he basically said we should be living every day with two sayings of Jesus in mind. First, no one takes my life from me, I freely lay it down. John 10:18. We're never a victim. We always have to be regularly making a gift of ourselves to God and in God for others. And then second, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus' last words from the cross. Constantly preparing, if we're doing that every day, then on that day in which it really is our last. When the Lord comes to us, we will get to put an exclamation point on our entire living for the Lord and dying for the Lord each day. But that won't be accomplished. That will be happy Passover into something for which we have been preparing our entire existence. We belong to the Lord. We belong to Him so much that when we distance ourselves from the Lord approaches, the Lord comes, He hunts us down, cares about us that much. Today in the Gospel, that's what it's about. 15th chapter, St. Luke is the most controlling chapter in all of Sacred Scripture. So we've got the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Lost sheep. Shepherds actually do this. I was out with Maria's dad once in Alaska. And we were on one of these rocky crags where we were there. We could see exactly what shepherds would have to do in order to be able to go rescue them from a cliff. But God loves us that much, He would allow a ton to mount salary. Heaven rejoices more over one repentant sinner than for 99 righteous people in order to repent. Insofar as the only one who never needed to repent was the Blessed Mother, because she had never sinned. And we know how much she pleased God by her perpetual fiat. Jesus, her Son, is saying essentially that heaven rejoiced almost 100 times more whenever we or something we bring repentance back to God for mercy. That's how much joy we give God because we belong to Him. Just as a mother would if she lost her son who abandoned the family and went off, would rejoice when he would return. God rejoices so much more. A lot of people don't understand the parable of the lost coin. It doesn't make sense to lose a quarter and find it. If you spend $100, throw it on $1 dinner. But the number 10 is significant there, because Hebrew brides would make a headdress with 10 silver drachmas. And to lose one of these 10 coins is the equivalent of a wife today losing her wedding ring. She lost her wedding ring for some length of time. She was really sweeping the house. And eventually she found that that would be a real occasion for joy because of what it symbolizes. It's incredible spousal value. So Jesus tells us that when we play the part of the adulteress, when we break our spousal covenant with Him and abandon, when we come back to receive His mercy, heaven rejoices most for that reason. We have the parable of the prodigal son. First, the son who treated his father as if he were dead. Give me what I'll inherit when you croak, you old geezer. I can't wait that long. Treated the father as if he didn't belong to the father. Went away, wastes his life, came to the central. He actually knows how much joy that brought the father. The older son, too, didn't understand the relationship to the father. He treated the father almost as if he were a slave master. All these years, I haven't disobeyed your orders. He could have almost said, master. You never even gave me a kid to play with my friends. But when this son of yours couldn't call brother anymore, it turned for him to kill the fatted calf. He belonged to God. God rejoices when you come home. Knowing these truths must impact the way we recover. We return to the first reason. It's very important then, which is really like therefore. After saying that we belong to the Lord, in life and in death, St. Paul says, why then do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you look down on your brother and sister? When we recognize that our brother and sister really belongs to the Lord, belongs to us, rather than judging, we love our brother and sister, rather than looking down, we esteem and we reverence. When they do objectionably wrong things to God and to us and wander away, we, having received the mercy that has restored us to that deep sense of belonging to God, how can we not let that mercy overflow? God, who is rich in mercy, by His reconciliation, makes us spiritual billionaires, capable of going out and lavishly sharing that same gift to bring people into that beautiful status of interpersonal belonging. We belong to the Lord. Beginning of this gospel, the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, this man welcomes them. today welcomes us, not only meet, but assembly. How greater need by which we can strengthen.